So welcome, everyone. So I'd like to introduce the practice for today. But before that, just want to say a little bit about practice in general. So this is something that some of you may have kind of heard before, but it's something worth considering in our practice. There's something quite helpful if we start to develop more of a continuity in the practice. So with this last day, you might notice as, oh, it's almost over and kind of a fading back. What I'm interested in seeing if we can do is just actually support more an engagement with the whole of the retreat. What we might want to imagine is, can I do a sitting? And then can I really do that walking? And then can I come back into the sitting again? And so there's this real kind of continuity of practice through the postures. And this will be really, really helpful because it'll mean that second sitting will be a little bit deeper, a little bit more connected. Now, at first, that might seem like that's a lot of effort, that, like you're kind of asking me to make more effort. But what you'll see over time is actually it's just a question of keeping that pace going. And so let's just use a couple of images here that can be helpful for explaining this. So let's say like doing a sitting meditation is a bit like blowing up a balloon. Yeah, you kind of like blow in a little bit of mindfulness, blow in a little bit of presence, and blow in a little bit of cultivation as you go through. And this balloon is getting larger, right, as we go through the session. And so blow in, steadying of the mind, calming of the body. Blow in a little bit more. We get towards the end of the sitting and the bell rings, right? And then you've got this kind of full balloon of quite a steady attention, quite a pliable mind, yeah, quite a relaxed and present body. And then what we tend to do is like let go of the mouth of the balloon, yeah? And let go of that balloon, the balloon goes and kind of flies off around, right, and lands somewhere in the room somewhere. Then we come back in for the next sitting, we pick up the balloon from wherever it landed, and then we blow into the balloon, and we build up that balloon again. So what I'm suggesting is that we just keep like a gentle pinch on that balloon, and then we take it into the walking meditation with us, and then every so often we just blow into it while we're doing the walking meditation. Blow in a little bit more presence, relaxing the body, steadiness of attention. Then we bring it back with us to the next session. Okay? And so what you'll notice is it just needs topping up every so often. Right? It doesn't need kind of reinflating from zero. And you can see if that image actually works in your experience. Yeah? So once again, with all of these insights, yeah, these insight ways of looking, just try it. Right? It's a suggestion for a recipe. You don't have to believe it fully, but if you're willing to try it, that's enough. So try that, see if it's helpful. Right? It's actually not more work. That's my advertiser's slogan. Do the balloon meditation. It's not more work. The second one is the victory lap. Okay? So it's connected to the same thing. What you'll notice is if you think back, like you've seen people who do these athletic events where they kind of run around a circuit, they kind of, there's the 400 meters, and then they do the 800 meters, maybe they do the, you know, 1500 meters, they're running around this track. And of course they're running against other people, they're running as fast as they can. Yeah, and they're giving everything they can, and then they come to the finish line. And like most of the field of runners, they collapse. So, oh, finished. There's panting on the floor, like they have their hands on their knees. And the one who's won does this victory lap. Like, I don't know where they get the energy from, but they just do this run around the track, waving at everyone, you know, they somehow have the energy to do that victory lap. So what I would suggest is when the bell rings, right, you've made it to the end of the meditation, and just give yourself a little victory lap. Could be a few more breaths, could be a few more metta phrases, you know, it could be a few more applications of the insight, just so that we don't fully end on the bell. Like, you know, this kind of Pavlov's dog, you know, metaphor, you know, the bell rings and they start salivating, oh, food's coming. And it's like, what we want is like the bell rings, it's like, oh, where am I? What have I cultivated? And now really just enjoy that. enjoy what you've cultivated. So we say, take it for a victory lap. So these kind of two images can work really well for supporting the practice, and we could say, you know, getting the most out of the practice. Yeah. Keep the balloon inflated, just gently inflated. Bell rings, race is over, victory lap. Yeah, we've got a little bit left. Enjoy it. Do the victory lap. Okay, so that's two ideas I find really helpful. So we touched on quite a lot in the talk last night, and I'd like to see how we can explore this. So if you remember, one of the main points in the talk was that metta is a great support for the insight. Yeah, it's a great support for kind of expanding the boundaries of what's kind of possible in our practice. And towards the end, we're bringing attention to the fact that the sense of self isn't static, it also decreases. Yeah, the sense of self, okay, decreases when there's less dukkha. Yeah, softens, lightens. Right? When there's less demand, sense of self softens and it feels nice. As we notice, oh, it feels nice when it softens. Okay. So Buddhism is a lot based around avidya, not clear and wise seeing. Yeah? And so insights bring in this vidya, wisdom, we could say, or knowledge, information, new ways of seeing things. So when there's avidya, when there's not wise, there's not clear seeing of how things are, we actually take this body and we take this mind, this heart-mind experience, to be who we are, to be ourself, or to be ours, to be the possession of this self. Yeah. Now this can happen consciously, but much of the time it's kind of an unquestioned like intuition of the way things are. Yeah, this is my body. And don't worry, I'm not going to go out of my way to convince you it's not your body and this isn't your mind. But what I'm kind of saying here is maybe, just maybe, I think it is, this is true, ownership isn't the most freeing way of looking at body and mind. It isn't the most freeing way of looking at body and mind. It also isn't realistic or really defensible logically. And maybe we'll just take a couple of seconds just to do that, because it might be helpful for some people to think about this logically. So let's say, for example, you know, you cut the body, injure it, yeah? The body heals itself, right? We don't do that. We don't heal the body. The body heals itself. It builds from food, you know, it processes all the kinds of things that come into it. And really, we don't have much of an idea how all of that happens. Yeah, but it's my body. I mean, there's just no question about that. It's definitely mine. Yeah. If the body suddenly no longer wants to digest food, like, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to digest the food, instruct the body. No, like enzymes, body, digest, you know. Yeah, okay, we're making too much gas, but we need to get that gas out somehow. Pump the gas down. I think down and out, you know. It's like, it'd be really difficult. The blood, you know, said, oh, I'm not gonna congeal, you know, I'm not gonna dry up on the skin, I'm just gonna keep pouring out. We're like, no, do that, whatever it's called. Yeah. So I don't even know what it's called. And we'll see, so in a certain way, we're not this body. This is nature's body. You know, it's made of food, made of stardust, and we're kind of stewards of the body. Yeah, and we're stewards of the earth through the body, for the earth. And so, you know, this is the nearest bit of nature to us that we relate to. Yeah. So maybe it makes more sense to kind of respect and engage with the body, but not feel like we own it. Yeah. I mentioned before with the body posture, I find it's really helpful to think, you know, this body belongs to nature and I should treat it with a lot of respect. And I think that when we feel like this is my body and I'll put it where I like it doesn't feel the same way to me, right? So I think it's not the most wholesome way of relating to the body, is to think that it's mine, to think that I can do what I like with it. Looking after it for nature, yeah, caring for it for nature. You see, that's metta, right? So the metta relationship has less ownership. Still has lots of kindness, still has lots of respect, And I think it's arguably a better way of relating. The same is true also of the heart and mind. Yeah? So if you decide to have only positive thoughts today, you know, only loving thoughts today, and I wish you the best of luck in that endeavor, but you'll see the mind will think the thoughts it feels to think. Yeah? We actually tune into a thought. They occur to us. You know, just in the same way as you get your radio station, you pull the aerial out, you start to tune in. It's like, oh, I'm picking up Thought FM, and they are, ooh, you wouldn't want to listen to this radio. I'm going to tune into it. Yeah. We don't make these thoughts. Yeah. And we have this feeling, this is what I think. This is what I think. It's actually what I've tuned into. It's what is occurring to me. Yeah. And we'll see this also. Attention's drawn somewhere. Right? Something interesting, I'm drawn there. It's rather automatic. You know, and then thankfully conscious comes in and illuminates what is here. We could say it's all happening by itself, and a sense of identification is like added on top. Ah, oh, and this is mine. Yeah, but what's yours of that, really? Yeah? But again, just coming back to it, yeah? The key point to these insights is this isn't an argument, right? We're just kind of playing with some ideas here and just saying, is that really the best way of thinking? It's a recipe. Yeah, it's a recipe. Can we try this on? Just try this view. Even if you're not convinced by those things that I just said. Even if you are convinced by those things I just said. We're trying it on as a view. Yeah? Because cultivating a way of looking in our practice, we actually taste for ourselves the fruit of a changed perspective. We can change our perspective on something. Yeah, we can embody insights. And just seeing, what do we gain through the direct experience of looking at body, looking at mind a different way? Yeah, what might that open? Okay. So what we're looking at is dropping the identification with, or the ownership of, what makes up body, what makes up heart and mind. Yeah? Even once they're fabricated into a sense of myself. So, can I just drop that? So as we mentioned before, we mentioned in the talk, mentioned a little bit earlier today, when we notice, if we see something as, you know, somewhat unsatisfactory, some relationship to it, this demanding on the thing, we naturally loosened that grip, right? And then that also allowed us to lessen that demand, and that object faded or opened or was released in some way, and that sense of self comes down. So all of that reactivity lessens, yeah? Even that kind of subtle preference in the Vedana, yeah? All seems so important, seems so essential. I take it as me, I take it as mine, fades and feels nice. It brings us to a kind of samadhi, okay? So an important insight in here is that the sense of self is not fixed, okay? It's not fixed, it also fades with this. Right. It can be large, it can be gross, it can be dominating. Yeah, and then it can be softer when the awareness opens from contraction. It can be subtle, it can be very quiet when life is kind of flowing along. So yesterday when that dukkha practice was flowing really well, the clinging, the demanding on experiences lessens, that sense of self lessens with it. So we see clinging, dukkha, self, they interact. They interlocate, they're synced on the mixing desk of experience. Yeah. And also the objects fade when the self fades, when the demanding fades, when the dukkha fades. Right. So used self there, I meant sense of self, right? So we're not saying something very clear about whether there is or isn't a self, and we're not getting involved in that argument. What I'm talking about is that sense of the self. Yeah, do you notice you have a sense of being a self? Okay? That's different than whether there is or there isn't, and it's going to be very, very complicated to have that kind of an argument. I don't know how we get outside of the self model so that then we can say, oh, there it is. Anytime you do it, it's like, no, that's your sense of self. And that's a sense of the self. It appears to us as an image in our experience. Yeah. So this is offered out as a really penetrative, really liberating way of seeing. Penetrative means it dives in, dives in, dives in, goes deep into the experience. And it's really liberating. You'll see for yourself, it's really, really liberating, right? It's not dependent on any particular object being any way. It's not dependent on there being any demanding that we've noticed. It's not dependent on being, you know, that we're associating with the preferences rising from Vedana, the pleasant, the unpleasant, the neither nor. We're just simply saying, this isn't me. This isn't mine. Oof, softening that sense of self. Yeah, do you see? There's no, like, pre-requirement. Is that, oh, there's pleasant, there's probably pulling towards me here, oh, that's seen as unpleasant, it's probably pushing away, let's stop that. So we're just going for something, it's really profound, right? It's really profound. So you can try this today, you're invited to try it, we'll try it in the practice. But you might also feel like, no, I've got enough going on with the things and the practices that I'm doing. I just want to keep on going with metta or, you know, this kind of open palm attention from yesterday, or however it was that Tsar described that. You know, metta, the Vedana, the letting go of dukkha. Whatever you want, if you prefer. And for others of us, you know, this is going to be just the practice we've been waiting to hear about. Yeah, and we just want to get engaged with it and we want to dive into it. So all of that's fine. Yeah, that's just fine. Do what feels right for you. Just to kind of open out an avenue, I don't know how much we'll go down it today, but just to say that all phenomena are also not themselves. Yeah? So we have this sense of self we build up. But all phenomena also, actually they're just made up of other things. Yeah? Kind of mentally fabricated, seen as separate, and often, you know, in terms of this practice today, seen as me or mine. Seen as, like, of my concern, I need to do something about this. But all of them, gathered together, things seen as an individual thing. It's like, ah, but it's not, depending on the way of looking. Okay. Just to kind of point out, we can go down that avenue towards the self that we feel, our sense of self, and the sense of an individual selfhood to this thing. Yeah? This, whatever it is, yeah, has its own independence. So everything can get kind of deconstructed this way. Yeah. And I'll give an example of something like, we can identify with our anger. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm an angry person, I have this anger. And we actually look at it and realize, well, what is anger? Okay, it's also this gathered together thing. It's gathered together of certain words with a certain tone, a certain energy in the being. Yeah, it's kind of gathered together and it's given this selfhood. Anger is given a selfhood and it's identified with. So we can also deconstruct the anger. We can also deconstruct the identification with anger, thinking, I'm not an angry person, otherwise I would always be angry, right? And there are times when I'm not. So occasionally I'm experiencing, feeling the bodily sensations and the verbal fabrications of anger. And that also moves through and can be released. Okay. So what we're adopting this practice today primarily is within what's arising in body, heart and mind. Yeah, it's a way of exploring. Once again, not worrying too much about taking it on as a view of reality. It's also really, really important that we stay in tune with the metta vibration through all of this. Yeah. So it can seem at times we're saying, this is not me, this is not mine, as a way of getting rid of something. Yeah, you can see that subtle aversion can come through. It's, oh, here's this unpleasant thing, there, you're not me, you're not mine. And it's not like, clear off, you're not self. There's lots of metta through here. There's no inherent need to push away anything at all. Yeah, you can stay, you can go. I'm just not going to identify with you. You know, yet you'll see, with a less sense of identification, things will very likely fade from perception earlier. Yeah? Because they're dependent on that sense of self, dependent on that sense of demand, dependent on that sense of dukkha. Yeah? But just see for yourself the fruits of this way of looking. But we could say that all of the evolution of the practices, they're all types of metta practice. Yeah? So just kind of keeping that in mind. If it starts to feel like, oh, I'm really way off from metta now, but I'll come back to metta later, just let it come through. Let it come through as the call. Yeah, foundation of kindness and expression in that easeful way of welcoming this way of looking into being. Yeah. And so if you notice I'm really off, it'd be really skillful to switch to a bit of metta practice for a bit of time. Yeah. Particularly if it starts to feel awkward, yeah? It's kind of this ill being is coming up with disidentifying with things. Maybe there's something getting a bit groundless and we're not so into it. Just know you can go at your own speed. Yeah. And what seems problematic in this moment, it might change over time. It might change if there was more metta coming through. Yeah, it might change if we drew attention to, actually, this feels good. Also feels good. Feels weird, feels unusual, but also feels good. So this is one of those practices where it might be helpful to use a little bit of noting in the technique. You know, something arises in attention, right? Attention lands somewhere. And we just have this silent way of announcing that it's not self. This is not the self. This is not me. It's not mine. Right? Because there'll be this subtly built-in assumption, oh, this is mine. This is for me. This belongs to me. This is me. Yeah. So the Buddha recommended to regard everything that appears and could become this sense of self for us. This is not me. This is not mine. This is not myself. So really feel free to find your own words for this. Yeah. I don't know if that would be enani or something like this. Maybe Sagiv can put in whatever he finds useful there. Could just be anatta, yeah, from the Pali, anatta. As long as it has that felt sense for you as you're saying it, yeah? So you remember from the metta practice, why metta practice really works is that felt sense in the words is carried through. You know, we're not just repeating the words. It needs to have that felt sense. It's, this isn't me. This isn't mine. So it's the words and the tone will really kind of carry that meaning. Yeah, I find the noting really helpful in this practice, but you may find it's possible just to regard them as that without any making it verbal. So what we're implying here is that phenomena are just happening. Just happening. Don't need that identification added on. So all the phenomena, including the way of experiencing, yeah, all the ways that we experience things. So using the body as an example, we'll see it's not me, not mine, the sensations of this body. Sensations of this body right now, not me, not mine. The Vedana that's added on to these sensations, also it's not me, it's not mine. The perception of the sensations, that they are being perceived, that they're being sensed. It's also not me, not mine. The knowing of the body sensations, this awareness of them, it's not me, not mine. All the additional thinking, thoughts, feelings, ideas, conceptions, attention, everything that goes into making this up. Also, it's not me, not mine. Just to see it that way. Yeah? Remembering, this isn't an argument, it's a recipe. It's an introduction of a way of looking. Just to see, this is just happening, it's not self. Right? This might lead to a kind of not knowing. Yeah? In kind of sense, well, then whose are they? It's like, okay, so that question arises. It's this not knowing. It's kind of, but it's different from confusion. Or even uncomfortable uncertainty. There's actually a kind of peace here. And that we can just tune into that peace. And at a certain time, you might just want to regard this peace here. It's also not me. It's also not mine. Maybe that sense of ownership. Ah, that's who I am. I'm the peace. And this too. It's not me. Not mine. Soften that. And just to clarify, it can at times agitate the sense of stewardship, you know, the sense of involvement, the sense of, oh, you know, but I have a responsibility to this stuff. Okay, now at certain times, you can just let go of that as well, right? That's also a construct. But maybe it's helpful, and it's actually, when that fades away, we kind of lose a sense of connection and an intimacy. It comes too fast. Yeah, it feels like disconnection, disassociation. Okay? So it can be skillful at times to adjust the phrases to, it's not just me, it's not just mine. Yeah, so we're saying, you know, the body actually belongs to nature, but we have an involvement with it. Yeah? So it's not just my body. So it's really in recognition, we play a role, we want to care for the body, we're not abandoning it. This is metta that's coming through. Yeah? Just encouraging a lessening of the sense of ownership, a fading of that central position of the sense of self in all experiences. It's not in our control, so it's not just mine. Of course, we may feel comfortable just to totally go with it and just say, yeah, it's not me, not mine. And so in that case, yeah, go for that. So make this practice your own. Make it support yourself. Help it support you. Okay, so let's bring it into a practice together, and then we'll have time for some questions around this, and I could understand, you know, there could be good questions, but it'd be really helpful if we first just try it. Yeah, we're just going to try it. I don't think anything harmful will come from just trying it. It's inviting this body to be comfortable and at ease. A friend, a very good Dharma teacher called Suvacho, refers to the body as the nearest other. How's your nearest other right now, this body? Just consider this body nourished by the food we eat together. It's actually not mine. We can still feel it, still be so sensitive to it, but it doesn't actually belong to me. Miraculous body being, every cell of this body refreshed, renewed. 7 years ago, almost all of these cells weren't even here. Yeah, we have a feeling, we knew it back then. It's not even the same body. Essentially, it's this natural process of body that we're tuning into. It's growing new cells as old cells die off. It's healing. It's sustaining itself. It's even breathing itself. It's not me. It's not mine. It's not who I am. It's just staying sensitive to this living process of body. Letting it be filled with awareness. We also acknowledge that this body will eventually fall apart. It will eventually return to the earth, return to nature. It's not me. It's not mine. It's not myself. Rest into the breathing or the body sensations. Just maintaining that view. Not me, not mine. This sense of not knowing. What is a body sensation? What is it? You tune into this body sensation coming together from all kinds of causes and conditions. Not in my control. Don't feel like I'm making this happen. It's not mine. It's not me. It's not who I am. And just allowing it to appear into this space, this perhaps slightly more peaceful space, with less ownership. Tuning in again to the posture of this nearest other, this felt sense of body. So it supports and reveals how experience is unfolding. Anywhere in the body that we prefer to relax, prefer to be more well aligned, just make those adjustments. Body feeds back responses, senses of where the shoulders wish to lie, how much the belly wants to relax. or the face. Gathering in the mind's eye, in the heart space, a whole sense of this whole body. Alive with life. Life flowing through the body. And yet somehow it's not mine. It's not me. I don't need to identify with this. And so as there's a softening in the body, it can also be a softening in that sense of ownership. Notice if any pain, stiffness, tension arises in the body. It's a condition to be responded to, but not owned. Maybe we'll soothe it with an out-breath, soothe it with more space, soothe it with sending metta as a support. You see, this sensation, it's not me, it's not mine. This definition of it being unpleasant or pleasant, this Vedana response, it's also not me, not mine. I need to own this process. It's just happening. Sometimes we notice maybe the body even starts to fade away from attention without that ownership, identification. It's not just that your mind is wandering away. Sometimes the phenomena itself can fade. And if it does, it's okay. You can rest into the space, what remains. Body's still here, anything at all that arises, any sensation, any sense of body, it's not me, not mine. Whatever is in attention right now, how is it to see that this too is also not me, not mine? Something that's occurring in attention. Maybe you can notice even attention, where attention lands, where attention goes. It's also not me, also not mine. We can guide attention, but also attention somehow can guide itself. Just notice what's in attention now. How is it to see this? It's not me, it's not mine. Just tune into the frequency again of body, if you can. Sense of a body here in the space of knowing. Letting this attention rest into the frequency of body. That is the body and all its sensitivity. See how it's picking up the world through its senses, like hearing. Just tune into the ear. What a miraculous thing, this ear. No idea how an ear works, how it receives sound. This ear, this form of this ear, it's not me, it's not mine. Body inherited it from nature, this body of nature. And also all the sounds, all the vibrations that are meeting the ear, landing in consciousness, being known right now. They're not me. They're not mine. It's something I'm doing. It's just happening. Incredible ability to hear, to sense sounds. It's also not me, not mine. Tuning into the mouth, from the lips, and the teeth, and the space inside, the tongue. Quite an incredible phenomena of the body, the mouth, and the jaw. His mouth is not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. And yet we can feel it, can sense it. Could almost be a joy just to sense the mouth. So there's a flavor, a taste in the mouth. It's also not me, it's also not mine. This ability to have tastes into consciousness somehow. Process. It's not me, it's not mine. It's happening somehow, it seems. Staying sensitive, feeling it, feeling the space that's generated by paying attention in this way. Letting that peace radiate through the whole body, radiate through the whole field of knowing. So the nose, and the nose, it's not just the bit on the front of the face, there's this whole fist size workings inside the head, this whole complex design for smelling. This nose, this physical nose, so complex, not me, not mine, not myself. And the aroma, the smell that's landing in consciousness. So not me, so not mine. That delicacy that's touching the being. And this ability to be able to smell the world. To be able to experience this way of sensing the world. Not something we do, something we receive in a sense. It's not me. It's not mine. It does not belong to me. It's not who I am. Something unfolding, something mysterious. can feel into the area of the eyes. You can also go deep into the body, behind the eyes, around the eyes, all the muscles, also the soft eye itself. So delicate, so sensitive. Also not me, also not mine. This feature of nature. Complex pinnacle of evolution. It's not me, not mine. Whatever light patterns are received in consciousness from the back of the eyelids, or any image at all that is known. It's also not me, not mine. Anatta. And this ability to receive light, make colors, make shapes, make a world. That sensitive ability is not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. Something unfolding, something mysterious. Feel from this area spreading around, skin around this area, skin right over the head, the sensitive skin, this largest organ of the body that stretches all the way around the body, just about every part of it sensitive to touch. The air, you can feel touching, the contact of one part of the body against another, where the clothes meet the body meets the ground, the chair. Insides of the body contact the skin from within, and the world contacts with the skin from outside. This whole sensitive skin, also not me, not mine. That which we feel through the skin, it's also not me, not mine. The capacity to turn this into sensation that is known, also not me, not mine. Body, this whole sensitive body. Letting the peacefulness hold, support, to pervade, permeate, flow through this whole body. So the intellect of the mind that receives and processes thoughts, emotions, this intellect is also not me, not mine. Something we tune into, receive and experience. Another sense door, sense of what's thought, sense of the emotion. This ability to conceive, to think, it's also not me, not mine. This living, sensitive body being, with six senses, not me, not mine, and all that arises through these six senses, it's not me, not mine. The whole world that we know is known this way. Notice how any release of identification affects the sense of who I sense myself to be, the sense of self, this image in perception, with a certain Vedana, sensed in some way. It's also not me, not mine. Notice if this supports any sense of peace, any sense of well-being, any sense of spaciousness or metta, sometimes enjoying it, letting it spread, breathing with it. So notice, this too is not me, it's not mine. Let's not identify with any phenomena, nor any experience at all. Thank you. So thank you for this practice. So we went relatively quickly through quite a lot of areas, just to kind of give a quick tour of some of the places we can take this practice. And so if you're going to be working with this, it might be skillful to kind of inquire into what's going to be a useful area to work with. And for many of us, like a primary area for developing practices is in the body field. Yeah. So maybe just work in body sensations, any sensation that arises. Yeah. This is not me, this is not mine. So we're kind of really clear and steady, and that's what we're developing. That's what we're getting to know the sense that it comes with a sense of identification. And I loosen the identification, and I get a sense of the well-being that supports, you know, the peacefulness or whatever. And so it can be helpful. You might want to do this in the sense of like whatever arises in the body, whatever sensation grabs attention. You know, if something grabs attention, there's a little bit of push-pull, right? That's how it grabbed attention. Yeah? And then we lessen that identification, lessening that demand, that grabbing. See what fades, sense of self, sense of object fades. Could be that we want to be more systematic and we're actually just going to pay attention to one area in the body, and then we get, you know, stay steady there. So anything at all that appears in the back, this, you know, staying there. What's there, what's not? We're going to work through it that way. And then you'll see this is also going to be applicable. We can move it across, you know, to this other, what's called aggregate, kanda, of Vedana. Yeah, just stay steady, sensitive, noticing Vedanas. Okay, this Vedana, it's not me, it's not mine. Oh, this Vedana, it's not me, not mine. Slowly, slowly, work our way around these aggregates. You know, the aggregates, it can be a really good way of exploring. Basically, it's the idea that a sense of self is dependent on the aggregates of body, of Vedana, of perception. Yeah. That what we perceive, what we receive, all kind of mental formation of where attention goes, intention, all these areas, subtler. You see, we're getting subtler. Right? So you stay with the body, learn it well in the body, and then we get into the subtler things. The fifth aggregate is consciousness. What we say is knowing, the quality that knows, that which knows. Think, oh yeah, that's who I am. No, it also arises. Yeah, also arises. Practice there gets a little bit more sophisticated, so to say. So I'm not going to explain all of that because I want to open up to questions now. But just saying, if we include all of the aggregates, then there's a strong conviction, yeah, none of these are who I am. And yet, my sense of self is dependent on all of them. What then? What then? This kind of skillful not knowing that's not agitating but actually opens us to the mystery, the peace of experience. Yeah. And so, as I was saying, you know, we're going to do the balloon, keeping the balloon inflated, yeah? Hopefully you've done your little victory lap. Probably didn't, yeah? It's difficult to remember all of this stuff. But little balloon. Victory laps when you can remember them. When you remember it, it'll be helpful. Yeah, when you forget it, it's fine. So keeping that balloon going into the walking practice, yeah, actually see the emptiness of walking. Okay, so this anatta lens is actually emptiness. Self is added on. Same thing, you know, when we come to the walking path, we see, oh yeah, there's my walking path. Nice. It's actually just, you know, a bunch of tiles that I call my walking path. It's like a label that's added onto it. See? Yeah, it's interesting. I'm now the walker, I'm now the meditator. Because I'm walking. Walking and walker, they kind of co-arise. This identification with it. Actually, I'm not a walker. I'm not the walker. This isn't walking. Yeah? To see it, you kind of bring the same kind of inquiry. What is it then? What is it? Suddenly you get much closer. What is this? This is not a step. This is not a step. Yeah? It's just skillful adding that in. It's like, you'll notice it gets us closer and closer to experience. Now, one idea could be, oh, we're getting down to what this is really made of. The curious thing is, there are no final building blocks. There are. Things are made up of stuff, but they're not made up of anything. And no, there are no final building blocks. It's emptiness all the way down. Yeah. So lots and lots of metta, if that feels disorienting, there's lots and lots of metta in the practice. And then we explore, we get sensitive, we go beyond ideas, go beyond the labels that make up our conceptions, that become our perceptions. Yeah. Okay. So some of this is complicated, and not all of it is going to be easily digested today. And we can take time. Like, all of this stuff's recorded. If you liked it, but you didn't get all of it, or you maybe if you didn't like it and you want to hear it again anyway, it's been recorded, it's going to be available, so we can like get into it over time.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.